Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45. Here's Pastor Matt.
Good morning. Let's see if this will fit there. There we go. You should have received a fish when you walked in, and so if you didn't, anybody didn't, raise your hand, and maybe the girls can, or somebody can run you. All right, should be good. All right, hold on to that. That'll be used at the end of the sermon, but just do something unique, right? Change it up every once in a while, and it'll be good as well as it relates to our passage. So Matthew chapter 4, you can turn to that this morning. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 is the main place that we're going to be in this morning. We've been looking at what is a disciple, all right? And as we talk about discipleship in the book of Matthew primarily, we think about the foundation of who we follow was Jesus Christ, of course. What is a disciple? We found out last week it is someone who follows Jesus. And so we really zeroed in on Jesus saying, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And so last week was part one and we focused on follow me. What does that all involve? And we saw it really involves a lot, right? All of our lives, every part of our lives is involved in that. And so this week we're going to be focusing on that second half, and I will make you fishers of men. So maybe you might be putting together the fish part with this morning. So that means this morning we're going to be talking about fishing. Now for some of you, you're thinking, yes, this is awesome, I love fishing. And then other of you are probably thinking, ugh, not fishing, that's all my husband talks about and does, right? But don't worry, this isn't your normal talk on fishing. Right? We aren't going to learn how to put bait on a hook. We aren't going to learn about the best spots in Clearfield County to go fishing. This isn't a fishing seminar in that respect. And don't worry, you don't have to be even an expert fisherman to learn about this passage. You don't need to put in a certain amount of hours experience fishing to comprehend what Jesus is talking about. But you just have to know the basic what it means to fish. And you have to have a desire to follow Christ, and any of us could qualify for that. And so Jesus has started his public ministry, and he is in the surrounding passages we see, he is the light of the world as he is shining into the darkness, right, of these two tribes. He starts out there in these areas that really were in exile first, and now they're experiencing the light of Christ first. And then he's also preaching and teaching and healing, which we saw at the end of chapter 4. And people are gathering around him. But in the midst of those passages, we once again zero in on Jesus calling four of his disciples. And what you notice there, starting in verse 18, it says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew's brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So like I said, Jesus just is walking, strolling along the sea. And he sees these fishermen and he calls them to follow, and he says, I will make you fishers of men. And they follow him immediately. And so we saw last week, being a disciple of Jesus means following him. But this week we see being a disciple means someone who fishes for men. It's someone who fishes for men. And so the first thing we have to tackle is, what does it even mean to fish for men, right? We don't usually use that imagery unless we're in church. Well, first off, it doesn't mean only males, right? This is men in the general sense of humanity, right? People. And it's using this imagery of fishing to illustrate what Jesus would call them to do, what Jesus would make them. So think of normal fishing, right? I think we all know the basic normal thing of what fishing is, right? You throw a line out or you put a net out and you try to gather fish, right? Well, now replace fish with men, right? It's kind of a weird thought, but really replace fish with men. And so now instead of catching fish, you are catching men. But there's a difference, isn't there? When you think about fishing, what are you doing? What is the goal? You are catching fish for what purpose? To kill them and eat them, right? Well, catching men is different. It's actually the opposite. You are catching them to save them, right? So there's a big difference here, but there's still the idea of catching and fishing involved. So think of the world and think about the water as sort of the world in sin, right? This world in darkness under condemnation. And now there are those who are fish and they try to catch, those who are fishers try to catch those fish out of that realm of darkness and death and sin. Or think of it another way as two kingdoms, right? The water would picture the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of darkness and the sin and death. But now you are snatched out of that kingdom. You are rescued and placed into the kingdom of light and life. You are subjects of Christ's kingdom, right? So the disciples, they used to gather fish out of the sea, but now they're going to be gathering followers of Jesus out of the world, so to say. And so they would still be fishing. Did you notice that? He really revamps their vocation. They're fishermen, but he's saying, you're still going to fish. You're just going to fish for something different. You're going to fish for men. And so this is essentially talking about, of course, sharing the gospel, leading others to Christ. There were those in the world who needed rescued and saved out of this sea of sin and darkness and death. And the disciples were now, as followers of Jesus, were now going to be playing a part in leading those people to salvation. And I want us to just kind of think about this, of Jesus calling people to do this. And we see foundationally the love of Christ, don't we? Because he looks at the world and he sees a world of people who he desires to save. We didn't deserve anything, and yet he provides the way in himself to be saved from condemnation and eternal death. Because he could have just ignored us. He could have just left us to our own devices, and really he would have been perfectly just because we sinned against him. We were the rebels, and yet he came, took on flesh, and lived on this earth with a mission to save people and to have us join in that mission to save people and forgive them and give them eternal life. And so if you think before we ever get to our role of fishing, we must see the love of Christ in his mission, that he would even have this mission of saving people. Because if we're ever going to be good fishers of men, we must be captivated by his love for men. We must be captivated by his love for people. And like fishing for fish, it takes determination for result, doesn't it? And so fishing for men must start with this determination of love, with this result of desiring to see people saved. And our love for people only comes because we first recognize Christ's love for us, because we realize I was in that sea of sin and death and darkness, and Christ saved me. That is the foundation. That is where we must start. Is that he loved us and saved us. How could we not desire for others to experience that? So that is what fishing for men means, very briefly. But let's look closer. So you think about Jesus' call. He says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It is just a very short statement, isn't it? But it is very powerful. It is very deep. We already, I mean, packed so much in one sermon, just follow me, and now we're going to be looking at, and I will make you fishers of men, and we realize, and want to bring out 3 points this morning, and it's this. First, he calls us to follow and fish. Follow and fish. Just think about what Jesus says. Zero in on what he says. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. There's a strong connection between following and fishing, isn't there? He uses a conjunction. It links and connects ideas together. That's what a conjunction does. And so here we see a logical progression. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And so we see following is the first act. Being made into a fisher of men follows that. And so we see Jesus didn't merely say, follow me. He didn't merely say, I will make you fishers of men, as though you could sever the two. And it doesn't say that he will make us fishers of men and then followers. What does it say? You follow me and then I will make you fishers of men. And so what is all of that to say? You cannot separate following from fishing. Following Christ means, a part of it means being made into a fisher of men. That is one of the results of following Christ. You see, Christ doesn't merely call us to learn and that's it. We follow and learn, that means follow him and obey, but then it results in us going out on mission for him. So there would not only be active learning, but active doing, right? It's kind of like an apprenticeship, right? If you're an apprentice, you are an apprentice not merely to learn. Of course, you learn, that's a big part, but you don't just learn and then you walk away. You learn in order to do. And that's similar here to with Jesus. Is that we learn so that then we can go and do. And this reminds us our Christian lives cannot be about knowledge alone. Knowledge is important, essential, foundational, but it cannot stop there. It has to be lived out. We have to be sent out. We have to go and do and to show love after we know love. To serve after we see Christ serve us. And so we may not ever say it out loud, but if you think about it, so many of us live as though fishing for men was just an optional part of following Christ. It is sad, but it's true, isn't it? So many of us act like it's optional. We think, witnessing is for people over there. Man, they're really good at it, but me? I just don't have a knack for it. Right? But that's not true. Every follower is to be a fisher of men. We are not to be sitting on the sidelines. We are not to be spectators of other people fishing. We are to be jump in. We are to also do the fishing. This is what Jesus has called us to be a disciple is to become a fisher of men. And so that's why even at the end of Matthew, Jesus says, go and make disciples. Now that you have learned, now that you have followed me, now go on mission. That is really an essential part of being a follower, being a disciple, is being on mission, being a fisher of men. And so we must reshape how we think about ourselves as disciples. Of course, we need to see ourselves as disciples. We need to see ourselves as followers of Jesus Christ, as we learned last week. But have we lost sight of the second part of this? We must remember to be a disciple is to be and to become a fisher of men. And so he didn't say, follow me and then just sit down and watch other people minister. Yet many of us live that way. He didn't say, follow me and I'm just going to get all the fish by myself. Just watch me do it all the time, every time. You don't have to do anything. No, he wants us and he has chosen to use us as a means of bringing other people to Christ. How do you view sharing the gospel with others? Do you view it as optional, or do you view it as an indispensable part of your role of being a disciple of Jesus Christ? May God help us and mold our thinking to remember that a disciple is someone who becomes a fisher of men. And so we follow and fish. We follow and fish. Every day that we wake up, the sign on our life should say, gone fishing, right? We should be gone fishing. We're on mission in this world. And so as we think also about Jesus' call here, we also realize he calls us to a high calling. If you notice, what does he say? You will be fishers, not of fish anymore, fishers of men. And what does that mean? That is a high calling. You are be fishers of people who have souls, who have eternal destinies. That is a high calling. You think about that Jesus would ask us to do anything is astounding, right? Even if he asked us to, you know, sweep the floor, that would be astounding. But think about, he calls us to join in his mission in the world. That's even more mind-boggling. And so if you see in the context, verses 12 to 17, we see he's the promised one. He's the light of the world. He gives light to those in darkness. At the end, verses 23 to 25, this is the great preacher and teacher and healer. Life-changing ministry comes through Jesus. And this very one who is the light of the world, who is the Messiah, who is amazing, as we see at the end of chapter 4, he calls us to join in his mission, in his ministry. You would think that he would take one look at us and think, I don't know about this. You'd think that he'd do that. I'll just do it myself, he might think. I mean, look at us. Just really look at us. We are flopping, failing, stumbling disciples, aren't we? That's what the 12 disciples were. That's what we are. We are like Peter, who, you know, starts to say some things and you instantly regret it. We're like others who don't get it. And we even feel like sometimes we can barely keep our own lives together, and yet he says, I want you to be involved in this world-altering task that he's doing in the world, that we would participate in that. You see, he doesn't call us to just some small menial task, does he? He doesn't just say, hey, you can do some shoe shining in the kingdom. No, he says, this high calling of fishing for men's souls, to be participants in that with something that has an eternal impact. I mean, just think of the disciples here, though. Their job before they met Christ was fishermen. And so what they did was they fished for fish. And so they caught fish and they fed some bellies and they lined their pockets because of it. And yet Jesus would radically change their lives. He would change their vocations into ones that would reverberate through eternity. They would no longer be fishing for fish. It was for men now. Talk about a high calling. And let me tell you, if you are a true disciple of Jesus Christ, no matter how menial or small other people see your vocation in this world, maybe you clean toilets, maybe you flip burgers, maybe you hand people a tray of food, maybe you change diapers, no matter how small your vocation is in the eyes of this world, you have another high up, eternally impacting, more important vocation from God himself. You are a fisher of men. So if you think you have a menial task in this world, remember your high task of fishing for men. If you think in your vocation in this world, man, I'm high up, but really you should humble yourself and realize that doesn't compare with my role in Christ. I am a fisher of men. Just think about who Jesus was calling to join in this high calling. These weren't the religious high up elites. These were just ordinary people
So, Reverend Legge, if you can imagine the ordinary person of that day, this is who the disciples were. And then it reminds us he chooses ordinary people to do extraordinary things, doesn't he? Who are we to be asked to be a part of this mission? And yet in grace, he desires to use people such as us. Because we would never have been chosen first in the world. And yet we are chosen by God to do great things to his powerful working in us. And so do you realize that God has, through Jesus, of course, called you to something that is eternally important? Do you stand amazed that he would just use little old you to participate in this grand old vision? God has called us to join in and play a part in this wonderful mission of saving souls in the world. His mission is to have a great catch of people saved, and we get to be used as fishers in that great catch. Of course, it's not going to be easy, is it? It's going to take toil and hard work. Fishing does, doesn't it? It won't be easy. It's going to take patience. Fishing does. It's going to take some skill, but it's worth it. It's worth it for God to say, well done, good and faithful servant. It is worth it to someday look around in eternity and see all the people that you have helped fish for Christ, and you will realize it was worth it. It impacted eternity, not just today. What a joy, and there's nothing better. You know, last summer, my father-in-law and I took my two sons fishing for the first time. And it was interesting and fun to see them experience fishing for the first time. And so my sons had to learn that to fish, it took a little bit of work, right? You had to make sure that you had all the equipment that you needed. You had to pick the right spot. You had to put bait on the hook, and they didn't really like touching the worms and the bait and things like that. And so they learned that it took work. They learned that it took patience. Doesn't it take patience to fish? It takes patience. And they had to realize you have to be quiet, right? And they weren't good at that. They learned that you have to wait for the fish to start nibbling or biting on the hook, and they weren't good at that either. They found that it took a little bit of skill to be able to throw the line out or to know kind of how or when to pull the line in. But what was truly special to watch was the joy on their faces when they all paid off, when they caught their first fish, because they realized the work and the patience and the skill needed was all worth it when that fish came up hanging on the line. And that's similar as we fish for men. The work and patience needed will be worth it all. For even one soul saved, it will be worth it all. And the joy that it brings. The joy that it brings. And so you think, what a high calling. What a privilege. What a responsibility. What a joy and an honor. We get to play a part in seeing and helping people see their need to turn in Christ, to be saved, and they are impacted, not just for today. They are impacted for eternity. And so there are necessary tasks in this life that need to be done to function. I get that. But how could we waste some of our time on needless things? If we are honest, some of our time is just wasted on needless things, leisurely activities, and they're often on a higher priority than sharing the gospel with other people. But how could we do that? How could we elevate these unnecessary things that have no eternal value and lower a task of sharing the gospel that has immense eternal value? We need to get back to our priority list. I need to get back to my priority list and start elevating sharing the gospel to where it ought to be in my life. As we see a text like this, as we even see the end of Matthew 28, go and make disciples. For we can remember there's nothing more important than playing a part in God's grand work in the world, God's grand mission in the world. And so if you think about where we've been so far, you notice something. We first saw sort of how fishing for men is our responsibility, didn't we? To follow is important, but it's also connecting with fishing. And so we have this great responsibility, but we also just noticed there's a great privilege. This is a privilege and a high calling. And so a responsibility and a privilege. And when you kind of take that responsibility on your shoulders and you realize this is a high calling and you put it on your shoulders, you sometimes feel like this feeling of, I don't feel competent for this. How can I do this? Right? I want to do this, but it seems so important. It seems so daunting. It seems so weighty. I don't feel up to it. If you feel that way, that's normal. But let me tell you, don't fret anymore, because in Jesus' call, he has given us the answer. Do you see it? When Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, he has given us the answer. To that feeling of weight of, I can't do it, what does he say? I will make you fishers of men. He makes us fishers of men. That is the relief. He makes us that. I think of military boot camp. I was never through it, but of course you hear about it. And what they do is they transform a group of civilians into soldiers, right? That is their goal. And what they do is you have the drill instructor, and he's just yelling at them and you know, trying to get them, still in them, to become soldiers. Well, thankfully, Jesus doesn't treat us like a drill instructor, right? That wouldn't be fun. But he does transform and change us into something, doesn't he? And this is such a refreshing relief, an encouraging truth. It means that it's not in our own efforts that we become fishers of men. The weight of becoming a disciple maker is not just sort of bearing down on our shoulders. It shouldn't be. But when we look at this truth, we see the weight lifted off. We see Christ makes us fishers of men. So often I hear people talk about sharing the gospel when they say, I don't know if I can do it. Where they think, I'm incompetent, I'm not knowledgeable enough. And you may be right to some degree. In yourself, you can't do it. You can't make yourself a fisher of men. But that's why he has to do it, and he has promised to do it. Because you think about that word, make. And really, there is the idea of making something, producing, creating, crafting something. The idea of changing and transforming us into something. And so you think about here, the creator of heaven and earth who made the world makes us fishers of men. And so we don't have to doubt him. We don't have to doubt his power. How could we? He is the great creator, maker, sustainer, crafter, changer. He is the great equipper and powerer. It is he, this master craftsman. He is the master craftsman. He forms us into fishers of men. He causes us to be what we weren't before. Transforms, shapes, molds us, sort of like a potter with the clay. He molds us and makes us into this. And this is great news, because it means when he says these things, he doesn't simply put the responsibility on our shoulders and then walks away, but he says, here is your responsibility, here is the high privilege, but you know what? I'm going to make you into that. I'm going to call you to that, but I'm going to equip you to do that. I'm going to equip you, but then I'm going to send you to do that. And in many ways, we're either hindered or empowered by the skill of our trainer, while we have no one better as a trainer, Jesus Christ. It is he, the one who makes us fishers of men. And so we must allow and look to Christ to shape us and make us into what he wants. And so if you ever feel like you can't share the gospel, remember this truth. Christ makes you into a fisher of men. Meaning you don't have to do it yourself. You can go to him and you can ask for help. Ask him to help you to become better at sharing the gospel. Help, ask him to help you to be more confident in sharing the gospel. And you know what? And when you share the gospel, you don't have to be like on Jeopardy where they know every single answer. And I'm amazed at how they know every single answer. You can say, you know what? I don't know, but I'm going to search my Bible and then I'm going to come and let's talk about this. You don't have to know every answer. But you can ask him for help and he will equip you and make you fit for the mission he has called you to do. And so when you think about when Jesus said that simple statement, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, he was calling us to something amazing, something profound and deep, something grand and big. And so what we see is Christ calls us to a radical new vocation, fishing for men. You see, for these disciples, they went from fishing for fish to fishing for men. And it shows us that what Christ does is he radically transforms and changes our vocation in life. He changes our careers, hobbies, and lives for the purpose of being for the kingdom. And so your daily vocation, whatever it may not change. For the disciples, it did. But for you, it may not change, whereby you make money. But as a follower of Christ, you now have a higher vocation that transforms the vocation that you have. Meaning this, you aren't only teachers, you are teachers who fish for men. You aren't only custodians, you're custodians who fish for men. You aren't only lawyers and secretaries and bankers and homemakers. You are all of those things, but now you are those things with an overarching vocation of disciple maker. And that changes how we live our lives. And what a difference that would make if we kept that in mind, that yes, this is my job, but I am also this. A fisher of men. And I'm going to be on mission no matter where I'm going. I mean, of course, it's going to look different and depending on what you're doing and where you are. But do we remember that overarching, grand, high calling that we're called to? What a difference it would make to not only think, I am a follower of Christ. I think many of us, that might come more naturally. Yes, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. But do we often think I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, but I'm also a fisher of men? I'm a disciple maker. It's a radical new way of life, isn't it? It changes everything. It's a radical new vocation. Because now our lives aren't just live for ourselves. Like I'm just going to make money, retire, and cruise out my days picking up seashells on the seashore. No, it changes it. So now, yes, I need to make money and I need to do some daily tasks, but as I'm doing that, as I'm going, as I'm living, I'm also on mission and I'm sharing the gospel. I'm planting seeds here and there. I'm encouraging people and I'm challenging people with God's word. I'm speaking the truth in love. I'm still on mission because I am a disciple of Jesus, and that means I am a fisher of men. So let's no longer see the sharing the gospel as optional, but see it as a part of being a follower of Jesus. This is a responsibility. It's also a privilege that we get to participate in his mission of saving souls. Of course, we aren't the saviors, right? We aren't the saviors. We're simply pointing people to the Savior. And we look up to him the whole time, for we know that we don't make ourselves fishers, but he makes us that. He equips us, he empowers us to do it. It is his plan, it is his power at work. We get to simply take a part in it. So as we go now, as we're ending up, we have the fish that you, so if you can take out your fish this morning, you've been holding it with bated breath, I'm sure. today we learned we are to be fishers of men, didn't we? And what I want you to do is there should be a pencil or pen or something, or ask somebody, and write on this somebody that you know personally who doesn't know Christ. Could be a family member, could be a coworker, could be a friend, could be a neighbor, Somebody, just one person that you know personally that doesn't know Christ. Write it on there now. Go ahead and write it there. You can also put your name. What I did is I kind of put my name at the top and then my person in the middle there, just so we know kind of who it's the request is for. And you don't even have to write their name if you don't want. You can just say my neighbor, my coworker. You don't have to say their name if you don't want, or you can write their name. But write someone's name down that you know who doesn't know Christ. And then when you're done, if you want to pass it towards the middle, and then I don't know if we get the girls or somebody to just gather up those. When you're done, they're going to gather them up. And then what we're going to do is we're going to put it in this bowl. Okay? So write down the name of somebody that you know who is unsaved, doesn't know Christ. And then when you're done, sort of try to pass it towards the middle, and then we'll have maybe the girls or Ed, if you want, or somebody, to gather up the fish and then come up and we can put them in the bowl. And so what we're going to do is, you're writing down, of course, someone who is unsaved. And so after the service, this fish bowl is going to have all these fish in it. And it's going to be put on the back table. And so when we're done here, I want each of you to just go back there. Even if you have to shoot out quick, just run back there, grab a fish. And you can go, just grab one fish before you go. And what we're going to do is, just through this week, I want you to just pray over that person. Make sure you don't grab your own fish. But just pray over this person. But just imagine that someone else in this church is just praying and praying and praying over the person that you wrote down. Just imagine the impact that could make. There's someone thinking and praying of like, hey, Lord, please give them opportunities, right? Please soften their heart. Please give them confidence and boldness to speak. Just please save this person. We're just going to keep bathing this person in prayer. And you never know. Maybe God will use this of people just praying and praying over that person. Maybe, and he will get to all the glory. So how are those fish doing? And we can put them, if you want to bring them up here in the bowl. Everyone, their fish. Thank you. So as you think about it, this bowl is representative of one person that we each know that doesn't know Christ. I want you to imagine, this is only one person we know. Imagine all the people you know. Imagine all those who don't know Christ just in Clearfield County. These people need Christ. These people are right now separated from Christ. They stand under condemnation like we were. We deserved it. They stand under condemnation and under death. And if they pass away before they trust in Jesus Christ, they will spend eternity without Christ. In hell. This is that people that we know. They need Christ. They need grace. They need mercy. They need the hope of Jesus Christ just like we do. And so we should be willing to share the gospel even if it's with this group of people. Of course, we want more and more and more, but just can't we start here? Can't we start there? There's a lot more, but we can start here. That's one step. And imagine now if all these, just one person we knew, now knew Christ. All the angels would be rejoicing. They rejoice after one sinner saved. And so we start there. There are fish in this world, people, who need the saving hope of Jesus, and we are to be fishers. Gathering them out of that sea of darkness, pointing them to Jesus Christ. But will we do it? Will we step up and do it? Will we remember that to be a follower, I am a fisher? And will we be emboldened by the privilege of I get to join in this high calling? And will we faithfully trust that Christ will give us what we need as we follow him to be faithful fishers? And so as I close out the sermon this morning, what I want to do is I want to pray over this bowl of fish, of people, fish who represent people, we could say. And I just want to pray over them and see what the Lord does. You never know what the Lord would do through this. Maybe somebody, one person. I mean, that would be a joy. But imagine this whole bowl of people that led to Christ, and all glory will go to God the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray for us to start out, Lord. Lord, we often don't feel competent enough. We are often fearful of sharing the gospel. Lord, sometimes we, in error, think that it is optional. But help us to remember that you have called us to follow you, amen. But you have called us to be your fishers in this world of leading people to Jesus. And I pray that you would give us confidence and boldness and take steps of faith to step out, even in the uncomfortable, because often it is uncomfortable. But I pray that we would step out and do that. But Lord, I especially pray for the people represented in this fishbowl. They represent somebody that we each know, someone personal to us. Maybe it's a family member that we are just brokenhearted over. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a coworker where we see their life and we're just like, they need Jesus. Or maybe it's a neighbor who we're just looking for opportunities. Lord, there are many people who don't know you, but I pray especially for these people that you would soften their hearts, that you would give us opportunities, that, Lord, that you would save these people represented for your glory, and that they would turn to Jesus Christ and see that he is the only way to heaven, the only way to be forgiven of their sins forever and have eternal life. And so, Lord, I pray that you would do a powerful work through us and work in their hearts and minds. In Christ's name, amen.
All right, let's turn in our hymnals, if you would, to number 436.